Today is Mission Sunday. I'm glad that I have the opportunity to share again. How many of us here have been missionary or have been overseas for mission trip or something, or even locally mission trip? Yeah, raise your hand. World changer? Yes. Yeah, we have many here. Thank you. You know, our church, we really, just value the Word of God, especially when the Bible talk about Great Commission. Book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, talk about, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and all in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That means we, as a church, we are very glad that we have a Jerusalem, we have a church. But at the same time, we would like to obey Him to spread the word in our community, and in, reaching out even to the Samaria, that means, further away, even to the ends of the earth. Our church in the past 15 years, we kind of directly or indirectly planted three churches in Florence, Charles, and Augusta. And we have someone going to Augusta today to preach, and then next Sunday we have two more going to Florence, Augusta to preach. So we try to live up the teaching of our Lord Jesus, not just enjoying our time together as a local church, but we also learn how to reach out to the nearby, towns or communities, or even to the ends of the earth. And today, like 12:30, when we finish our second service, we are going to pray. And you'll see we have more than 20 over missionaries and also mission organization. We are going to pray for them. So this is very excited, because when a church follow, God's command, and then we trust the Lord will be pleased with us and He will bless us. So this is a very unique, opportunity in this century that we can continue to serve Him. As all of us know that from August 22nd to September 20th is the month of fasting month for whom? For the Muslim. Just half an hour before the service start, I read an article talking about the Muslim world, and they predict that in 2030, one of the European country will become a Muslim country, and that is France. And they have good reason. The basic reason is the Muslim, averagely, they have 8 children. With parents, that means 6 children. And then we, American or Chinese or British or French, averagely we have less than 2. So give it another 20 years, you will see how many more Muslims will be in this world just by birth. This is a serious issue. So if a church only look, just after our own affair, like our own business, then we will lose the war, lose the battle. So please, pray that as we, read the Word of God, may God help us to be a mission-minded church. And this morning, I would like to just bring to your attention about 4 times that God called people. And the answer all the time was the same. The 4 times the answer was the same. God created us, want us to be a blessing to many. And that was the original plan of our Lord, our God. And still is the same plan. So when our ancestor Adam and Eve, they commit sin and they ate the forbidden food, and then God asked them, "Where are you?" It's tragic, because in this world, A lot of people try to reach up to God, say, God, where are you? But actually, God is looking for us all the time. God is with us all the time. And only when we are walking with our Lord, we are sure that He is with us. If we are not with Him in His will, then God is looking for us and say, where are you? He wants us to come back, and walk with Him, because that will be the only way that we can glorify our God, and the only way that we can live out a very meaningful life. So, four verses in the Bible, these are not the only four verses talk about here I am or here am I. But I would like to just mention these four verses, and then I would like to share with you, from my personal missionary experience, how these four verses speaks to me. Alright, the first verse is in Genesis. You look at your bulletin, the sermon outline. Genesis chapter 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Here I am, he replied. Okay. The second verse is in Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. Chapter 3, verse 4 in Exodus. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Look at another verse in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 4 again. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 4 again. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And of course, we usually come to one of the greatest verses in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Just look at those four verses. When God called, and these four people, they respond to God. What happened to their life? What happened to their life? I'm amazed how many people in the church, or even outside the church, they talk about Abraham. They talk about Moses. And then maybe outside the church, not as many people know about Samuel as Moses or Abraham. And Isaiah. It's amazing for me, because when people respond to God and God does miraculous things through their life, that is very, encouraging to see. Whenever we respond to God and say, here I am, do you know what happened? Here I am, in a sense, if you read the Bible, here I am in a sense that, God, I'm here, or I'm ready. Tell me what you want me to do. Here I am, I'm ready. I'm ready to respond to you. This is very encouraging when Abraham say, here I am. Abraham has been following the Lord all the way from his old hometown in the Babylonian land. And follow all the way until chapter 22. He followed all the way. He was so used to follow the Lord. So whenever the Lord say, he say, here I am. Even the verses followed, God says something was very difficult for him. But he has no doubt, no hesitation. You see, when we Christians, we build out our habit, our desire to follow our Lord day after day, day after day. We get to know our Lord so well until a point that we trust Him no matter what. And Abraham, it was a very, you know, just wonderful example. This, you know, last night and this morning I read through chapter 22 in Genesis again. I thought, wow, he didn't even discuss with his wife. That can cause a lot of problems. I mean, this is nothing, it's like nothing like you're just going to Walmart to buy something. Okay? He's going to offer his and their only son as a burning sacrifice. I'm not sure, but I didn't read it from the word record that he discussed with his wife and prayed together and she agreed, so he said, okay, let's go ahead. No. As soon as she heard God's word, it was very tough, very tough. Bring your son, your only son, to where I want you and offer him as a burning sacrifice to me. It's never easy. It was terrifying. No wonder people sometimes run away from God, saying that, oh, you know, I better keep away from God. 2 weeks ago, I was in Atlanta. You know, we were in the mission prayer camp. And then one mission leader, organization leader, said, oh, you need to be careful because when you talk to God, you know, God may say something to you that you are not expected. You know, and you must be careful. But Abraham, he learned from the very beginning, for years ago, that when he followed the Lord, follow him closely, take God's word very seriously. And then, you know, again and again, he proved that God is trustworthy. God never failed him. So, up to chapter 20, when God say, you know, Abraham, he say, here I am, and God say, bring your son and offer him. And he did it without hesitation. How can a Christian, you know, develop a strong faith as Abraham? No doubt, even this is not logic at all. Even though that's impossible, how can God say that? And Abraham never doubted God. That is something we would like to see in our life and in our church. And then when God called Moses, you know, Moses has been very, he has confidence in himself up to certain age. And then after that, he realized that even though he was, you know, the prince of Egypt, there were a lot of things he cannot handle, he cannot do. And then end up, he became even more humble and only talked to sheep and God and maybe some other animals. And when God called him, he realized that, how can I serve him? I didn't talk to many people for 40 years already. How can I be a leader and talk to people and ask people to follow him and out of Egypt? He just feel like that's impossible. You know, we as Christians, a lot of time when God challenged us, we have the similar feeling like, who am I, God? You know, I don't mind to pray for the one next by me. I pray that God send him, you know, not me, or send her, not me. But you see, when God called Moses, in spite of his weakness, Moses said, here I am. Of course, afterward, he kind of hold back a little bit, like say, God, you know, I can't do it. But as we see, when he followed and trust God, God used him so mightily, so mightily. And brother and sister, do you see a pattern there? Do you see how God worked in our life? You know, from Abraham, Moses, and then Samuel. Samuel was very young when he was, you know, he was put in the temple and served with the old priest called Eli. And God called him even when he was very young. How can God use a young person like him? He even didn't realize who is calling him. So when he heard, you know, Samuel, and he ran to Eli, the priest, and said, "Sir, you call me?" And Eli said, "No, no, go back to sleep." 3 times he ran to the priest Eli. And the 4th time he responded to God, say, "Here I am. Your servant is listening." And God used his life. God used his life. How should we, you know, put our trust in our Lord? We can have a lot of explanation like, "God, you know, I'm not the one. I don't know much. You know, I'm not well trained. I'm still young." Whatever. We come up with all kinds of reason. But remember, this is all about God. It's not about you. If God wants to use you, He is going to use you. And then, of course, you know, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, talk about Isaiah. When he saw the glory of God, he worshiped God, and through the worship, he responds to God's challenge. Say, "Here I am, send me." This is so beautiful. I preach, you know, these 4 verses many times. Of course, every time I preach it differently. But every time I have the same feeling like God is speaking to us. God is speaking to me. Am I ready to respond to Him? You see, when God called us to go to be missionary cross-culturally, it was a very, you know, challenging experience. Okay, when we pray and pray together in Melbourne on a small mountain as a family for months, ask God where you want us to go to serve you. You know, God spoke to us and showed us that this is a place you need to go. Why is that? Because when we pray about a people group called Manga, okay, Manga, no idea who are those people. And then very little information, only saying that 4.5 million people living in the Sahara Desert without a church, no pastor, no Bible, and with very few Christians. For some reason, our hearts went to them saying, "Lord, we feel like you are calling us to this people group." You know, it was a response by faith, because after that I went to Melbourne University and to other big library to find more information about Manga people. I found none. And then I found that this people group spread into 4 countries, Nigeria, Chad, and Cameroon in Africa. Then I say, okay, let's try Niger. So I look for books, information, you know, and I found only 4 books and 2 books in French, which I know nothing. And then 1 book talk about Niger in one of the chapters, which helps us a lot. Another book mentioned maybe not 2 to 3 pages. It's very few information, very little information. And then, you know, some people ask, "Do you want to go have a look before you bring your whole family there?" I mean, Ruth was 4 and a half. So we are going to Africa. So what is she going to do? I mean, where is she going to do the schooling? I mean, David was, you know, 2 years younger, 3 years younger, older than her. And Job is another, you know, 1 year older than David. Where are we going to, you know, to put our children for the education? We have no idea where is Niger. Many churches supporting us, pray for us after 8 years, that means 2 terms. When we came back and shared with them about our ministry, they still pray, saying they praise the Lord because Pastor Warren and his family, they are in Nigeria. And in my heart say, "No, not Nigeria, it's Niger." People know about Nigeria much better than Niger. And a lot of people don't even know that Africa is not a country. They thought Africa is a country. So what is the difference about Nigeria or Niger? It's the same country. I said, not the same country, it's a continent. So I'm glad that God knows there is a difference. And God knows where we are. So it doesn't matter how people pray and pray wrongly, the address wrongly, but God still finds us where we are. It was very difficult. I'll tell you truly, you know, truly, when we read Genesis chapter 22, we have similar feeling. From 92 January to 2003 June, basically Ruth was not with us. She was in the boarding school. Come back during the summer. Long holiday like Christmas, we'll see each other. And David, Job, they are similar. We are like God. You want us to put our children on the altar? How can we do that? But we praise the Lord. We struggle some. But we learn to trust the Lord. You know, today is 2009. And how many years later, if you can count the first day we left them in the school, 92 January. And when we look back, what do I see? I see God's blessing. I see God's blessing. Those who know Job, he is helping, happily serving the Lord in Atlanta Church as a youth director. Those who know David, he should be here today, but he ran away. He just came back from Africa last week. You know, he ran away, not run away, but he was so, you know, excited to meet with his friends. But he promised he will come back next week. Actually, he will be back this afternoon. But anyway, he loves to go back to Africa. He said, "Africa, I'm going home." I said, "Where? Africa?" No, our passport is Malaysian, but he never considered Malaysia home. He's going back to Africa. And Ruth is here. I mean, just look at our family. I'm not saying that we are doing very good, but we say that we have a lot of, you know, we have, we experience God's grace just so much. So in a sense, what I'm saying is, once we respond to God and trust Him, and He will bless us. That is God's nature. He is not going to trick us or not do something that is, just make us feel like maybe this is true. No, it is true. Abraham's experience, when he walked with his son all the way to the mountain where he is supposed to sacrifice his son, what did he have in his heart? In Roman, express what he was thinking. He was thinking, "My God Almighty." Okay, he asked me to offer my son burnt offering. That means kill him. And he trusts that God will raise him from the dead. That was what he was thinking. Brothers and sisters, God did it a little bit differently. Before he lay hand on his son, the angel was sent, and maybe it's God himself, was so touched by this man, so obedient, trust God, you know, no matter what, and shout out, say, "Stop! You are not going to lay hand on your son and prepare a ram for the sacrifice." What do we see? What kind of God are we serving? Are we following? He loves us. He knows. He wants to test us, remind us, turn away from the world, turn away from what people say. We really not need to know and follow Him alone. That is the message. And when we talk about Moses, Moses had been very proud, and he thought he can save his own people through his talent, through his knowledge, everything. And God is very, we say that his humor is really, to me, is so beautiful, because God put him down, and he really know that cannot depend on himself, and he start depending on God when God called him. And God used him so mightily on the mission field. I have seen so many missionaries. They were doctor, they were lawyer, they were very successful businessmen, or very successful in whatever area. And when God called them, they say, "No, God, I can't do it," because not all the good doctors can learn another language. Not a very successful, not all the very successful lawyer can eat those food they crawled by flies, or kind of thing. They hesitate. Missionary hesitate. How can I do that? I can't do it. Whatever they have on a mission field seems like useless. I'm not sure how to use it. But brothers and sisters, we can argue with God, but once we obey, once we trust in Him like Moses, things change. And Moses became the powerful instrument in God's hand to deliver His people out of Egypt. So brother and sister, what kind of person we want to be? We don't pray to be a great person, but we need to pray to be obedient and trusting Him only. We need to pray that God may us a person that really trusts in you. So when he said, "Here I am," he was so disturbed when God said, "Okay, now I send you to lead these people out of Egypt." He never realized that God can, expect to use him in such a way that, lead two, maybe million people out of Egypt. That's impossible. And when he obeyed, and he realized that, yes, it is impossible for Moses, but it's not impossible for God. That is encouragement. That is the main thing. We Christians, we need to realize, are we depending on ourselves? If yes, then of course we have good reason to be scared and to be disappointed. And praise the Lord. And when we see Samuel also, when he responds to God, he was so young. He knows very little about life. He is not prepared for that. But again, when he, obey God, I just feel like, God can use this young man, Samuel, and he can use any of us also. So when I respond to God, say, "Here I am," I was maybe 16, 17. And when the church say, "Okay, you can you share a testimony?" I was brave enough to say yes, but I wasn't brave enough to say anything, because I was up there shaking, and no words come up from my mouth. It was like Samuel. I don't know what to do. I'm so helpless. I'm not experienced. I'm not trained. I don't know what to do. But once you follow him step by step, and you see how God uses you. And I say, when God say, "Whom can I send?" Isaiah say, "Here I am. Send me." What a beautiful phrase, answer, response. Year 76, when I respond to God, during a big, huge meeting, I'm not sure how many thousand, Chinese churches in the world, you know, one of the top five, the largest Chinese churches in this world is in my hometown, in East Malaysia. You know, each service we have more than 1,005, so we have 4 or 5 services. You know how many Chinese there. During a huge meeting, and the pastor called who is going to respond to God, and they want to serve Him, stand and walk to the front. The message was so powerful, I thought at least we have maybe 10, 20, 30 people walk to the front. So I stood up and I walked to the front. And I waited and waited and nobody came. I was the only one. But I never regretted, because I saw the glory of God. You know, we Christian worship, I saw God present in our midst. And I dedicated myself to Him. That was how many years ago? 30 over years ago. Brother and sister, I'm here to testify. I never regret. Actually, I'm, you know, very happy that we made that respond to God. Whom am I going to send? Here I am, send me. So if you have faith in our Lord and know who we are trusting, and when He is calling you, respond to Him. Here I am. If you do that, and you will see how God is going to use you in a very special way. So be ready when God speaks to you, and prepare for your answer. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank You for who You are. I know the Lord, You love the world. You want us to be Your witness, so that many people will be blessed because of us, through us. And speak to us today, Lord. And prepare our heart to give the right response. We want to thank You, because if we do that, we trust You, we obey You, we'll be a blessing to many. And we'll experience Your goodness throughout our life. Thank You, Lord. This is very encouraging. Thank You for Your goodness, for Your promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.